So we begin with hymn number 74, singing verses 1, 6, and 7 of 74. 1, 6, and 7. Sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. I think that sort of fits today, doesn't it? And in so many ways, it fits the light of Christ that we feel right now shining upon this place as His presence is here with us to worship Him. And how thankful we are for that. Welcome one and all, and to those on Zoom, those who couldn't be with us, our prayers are with you, and we're just thankful to all be together. Any greetings to share?
The old blacksmith, and he's not feeling well, so he's still having trouble with his back, so he couldn't come. We should pray for him.
For sure. Please keep praying for Brother Mike.
He sends greetings.
He sends his greetings. Thank you. Please continue to pray for him. Bill Blumel, I spoke with this past week, and he sends the love of the congregation to Lydia also. And I was speaking with Lydia as well, just briefly, and she said that they would very much like to come here in the fall. So pray that can happen. We hope that will materialize. Hope everybody found their seats okay today. Don't tell me to blame, just blame me. I felt moved to kind of move chairs around a little bit. So I hope that meets with everybody's approval. It's been blessed and tweaked by Johanna, so I know we're in good shape. Bear with us. I just thought fewer chairs and more intimate, getting closer here to one another, I think is a good thing. So that's why the change. Also, I'd like to have a members meeting next Sunday after lunch. We have the Elder Council report from the April meeting that we'd like to share with everyone, and so it'll be a very brief meeting. We'll share just some encouragements with one another, not more than I would think 30 minutes, maybe an hour at the most. You could just please plan on that next Sunday if you're available. Also next Sunday would be the New Hope Pregnancy Center collection, so please bring items. Following lunch day will be a prayer service, our monthly prayer service. Anything else? Anything I missed? No? Right, so please keep Brother Frank in prayer as he brings us God's word today. And let's begin by blending our voices together with hymn number two. Number two, Hallelujah to God Now Sing, verses 1 and 3 of number two.
Together, and that we can be about your word and we can learn from you. And Lord, we ask that your blessing would be upon each one this morning. And we just thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Colossians, the third chapter this morning. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall they also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in the word for deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I've read to the end of the chapter. And here the Apostle Paul begins with the chapter saying, if ye then be risen with Christ. Really, Paul is not questioning the spiritual state of the Colossians, saying, if ye are risen with Christ. He's saying that because ye have been risen with Christ, because ye have accepted Christ into your heart, and he has come into you, and that so he's not questioning that has happened, but he's saying in effect, since you have trusted and believed in Christ, that Christ died and paid the price for your sins, and demonstrated that the price was paid by his resurrection from the dead, he's confirming that that's the belief that they have, and that's what they're counting on and trusting in God for, and have come to Christ and recognize what he has done, and that is now the life that they are living. Because of that, the truth that kind of a truth, if we believe those things, it will bring about changes, or Christ will bring about changes in our lives if we trust Him and we have given our lives to Him. And if we no longer, here in this chapter, he's saying that we no longer should strive for the heavenly, for the earthly things that we strive before we have come to Christ. And we don't consider those things as in any importance anymore. Now that we know what Christ has done for us, and now that we believe in that, and that we trust that we have eternal life because of that belief in Christ. And so he's using this chapter to show how it should be different once you believe in Christ, that our life should show a change and should show that. And our thoughts and our desires should not be centered on pleasing myself or to look at those things, but we should strive to please God, because He is the one who has given us the way to eternal life, and we should thank God for that. And we don't have really the strength to do that on our own, of our own efforts and our own strength, but that's something we can pray about. We can pray to God that He will give us the strength to live lives that are pleasing in His sight, live lives that are according to His word, according to what God wants for us in our life. And knowing that that's an eternal life, that we are also going to spend, after we die, we can go to heaven, and we can, there, we can't even really imagine what heaven is really like, what the glory there would be, and we can't imagine seeing God face to face. At least I can't. I can't imagine what that would really be like. But that is one of the promises that we have of when we come unto Christ and give our lives to Him, that we have eternal life. And so, also in this chapter, Paul is going to try to say how our life should be different when we have the promises of those things and we have given our life over unto Christ. And Paul uses the phrase, we are dead, meaning not meaning that our body, our physical body is dead, but we are really dead to the lifestyle that we had before, and that we're going about and trying to please ourselves and going about to do those things that we just think maybe are fun to do, or maybe we receive pleasure in some things. And so there may be things that we have to put aside, and knowing that this is a different life, this is a life that is dedicated to the one who died for us, who died for my sin. This is a life that should be pleasing to Him and should show forth those kind of traits that Christ showed forth in when He was here on this earth and He lived on this earth. And we should no longer consider those things that influenced in our life before that, or controlled us in our life before that. But he's talking about that should be considered as death, that is really no longer the life that we have, but he's given us a new life in Christ. And we should consider that instead of the influences from the influence of the world, the influence should be for Christ and His Word, and to strive those things and do that. And we are controlled by those things. We should give our life over to that and be influenced by the Word of God and Christ. And in Colossians 3, 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. And it's saying that this is really going toward the end of time, you know, when Christ would come again at his second coming, that this is something in the future. And even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 25:8-9, it says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And even in the Old Testament, this is a prophecy of what it will be like when Christ comes. And we see when Christ came and was on this earth, that we can see many things and many miracles that he did. And we can see how things were different and how he has changed lives even in that time. He is changing lives today. And so we see that here. And in Colossians 3:5-7, we read, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." So here, when it says mortify, it's really saying put to death, or consider that as death. And the life that we had is now taken away, is being replaced by a life that is more glorious, and that is come. That's the life that he came to give us, and the life he died for on the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven, that we no longer are burdened by those sins, knowing that he has taken them upon himself. He has paid the price for them on the cross. If we know that and we trust that, we don't have to be a slave to those kind of sins that maybe we gave in easily in our life beforehand, but now we have strength in Christ. And if we don't feel the strength, we should pray for the strength. When we pray, we are talking directly to Christ. We are talking directly to the one who has given his life for us. And he's saying that you walked in times past on those things that you wanted to do, or that you desired to do, or that this world was telling you to do, to no longer do that, but to live a life that has been changed, and to live a life that is showing that we are now, we have given our life over to Christ, and he has changed our life, and we no longer do those kind of things. And he mentions some by name. He says fornication, and that's really a broad term for we're going to say like sexual immorality that goes against what Christ's plan is for marriage, and he has planned that marriage should be between one man and one woman, and anything outside of that is really wrong, like premarital sex or adultery or prostitution or uncleanness, physical or moral impurity, and affections or things that passions that shouldn't be there, and that even if we feel those things, we have strength in Jesus now, knowing that those sins were forgiven, and to be able to look unto him. And he also says inordinate affections, undue passions or lust. That's something that maybe things were like that in our lives previously, but God gave us the strength to overcome those things, not by our own will or by our own doing or by our own strength, but when we pray to Him and ask Him for to give us strength to overcome those things, that's what Christ has done and will do continually in our lives. Concupiscence means forbidden desire or lust, and covetousness is found is like greediness or idolatry or even fraud or extortion, things like that that shouldn't be in the life of a Christian. Once that life has been given over to Christ, those things shouldn't be there. And again, you're saying that only through Christ can we have victory over those things. And we have to trust Him, and we have to read His Word and to understand what His Word, the way His Word tells us to live and to live in purity. And those are the things that He wants us to experience, and He will have us experience that if we really have given Him control of our lives. And in Colossians 3:8 it says, "But now ye have put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." And anger seems like an emotion that we all have from time to time, at least I do. And sometimes it seems warranted if it's under control, but sometimes it's controlling us. Our anger can control us. If we are so angry and we let that anger develop and increase in our lives, it's something that shouldn't be like that. And in Ephesians 4:26 and 27, "But be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So even if an angry moment comes unto us, we don't have to let that anger control our actions and control what we do or control how we think or how we react with other people. We have to recognize that if there's anger there, that it's something that God doesn't like and something that God would want us to give to Him to be under control. And so we can't let, we shouldn't let the anger control us and influence our thoughts and maybe our actions. And the devil is ready to try to make us be disobedient to God's word, but we have to pray to God and we have to read in His word, and maybe we have to pray with someone else that we have to say admit that what we're doing, and perhaps the devil is trying to go with us in the other direction to make us even more angry or to be maybe aggressive or shouting or hostility. But here it's telling us we shouldn't give in to those things. We should realize that once we have accepted Jesus into our hearts, we also have the Holy Spirit after we're baptized to teach us those things, the way that those things should be, and the things that we should avoid, and that the things that He would teach us how to overcome and give us also strength to overcome that. And here He's really telling us to take care of that before the day is really over. Don't go to sleep if you're angry at someone or you're out of control. That take care of that. And the way we do that is to bring it unto God, in our prayers to bring that unto Him. And not that God doesn't already know that. He already knows what we're doing. Even before we say something, God already knows what the words would be that are going to come out of our mouth. But we shouldn't let the devil try to control that and try to influence that in any way. But we should take care of those things. And if it means that you have to pray a long time. You should pray a long time. And he tells us about other things like malice. It's a desire to cause harm, injury, or suffering in another person. And that's the opposite of what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to love other people. He wants us to show the love that Jesus has given unto us, the love that he had when he went under the cross, when he suffered and died for my sin. That really shows the love that Jesus had and what he did for us. And we should recognize that we don't have the strength in all things, but when we come unto him and when we lay it at Christ's feet and say, help me with this and take care of this in my life. And here it's saying, do it before the day is over. So it's not something that will fester or build in our lives. Like the malice is desiring harm and injury and suffering. And that's not something we would want to show really to other people once we have accepted Christ. And so it's important to let him take care of those things. And he also talks about blasphemy, and that's contempt and disrespect or lack of reverence to God and for even using his name in vain. That's something that we shouldn't be doing either. We should know that we should be praising God and we should be praising Christ and we should be coming to him in prayer and to have him take control of those thoughts before they turn into actions. We want to receive the strength from God, and he wants us to have that strength, and he wants us to recognize how dependent we are on him and how dependent we are on Christ. Not just that he took away our sins once, but any sin that would come up or that he would tell us about, warn us about, that we would come unto him and say, we need those sins to be taken care of in our life. And he will do that. He also talks about filthy communication, and that could be dishonest talk, malicious talk, disrespectful language, obscene speech, vulgar or foul language, slander, gossip, harsh speech, insults, things like that. Maybe that those kind of thoughts come into our minds at times, but we also have to recognize that God is able to take our lives and he was able to show that what he's done for us and what he will do for us, and that we should, if those things happen, to come to him and ask him to take those away from us, not to be controlled by them. And then in Colossians 9 and 10 it says, "Why not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." According to some sources, we're living in a post-truth world. And what they're saying by that is that in our society, we're accepting non-truth more than we have before. We're saying that, well, it's okay to lie sometimes, when we keep saying that, we're really going down the wrong path, the wrong way. Even if it's become acceptable in society, that they're really not so much concerned about that. Well, that doesn't mean we have to be that way either. We're supposed to be telling the truth. Christ came, and even before Pilate, he said, I came to be to tell the truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? Because he had to make a decision on what to do with Christ and how was he going to make that decision. But it's Christ really came to show us the truth. What is the truth? And what is pure truth? And that is Jesus. And I read something about they did a study on lying and that, and they, I think it was the University of Massachusetts. They did a study on if people would lie, and they didn't. I don't know exactly how they did that, but they said they came to people, and they would have like a conversation for 1 hour, and want to see if they could pick up lies that the people were saying and that. And we now and in that study they did it in 2016. They first did it in 2016, and they said in that study that 56% of the ones that they talked to for that 1 hour even agreed that they had lied for at least once during that time. And they did that study again 19 years later, and it went from 56% to 64% who said they had lied during that 10-minute conversation that they had left. And so some people said, well, that's just the normal part of life. Sometimes you have to lie. Sometimes you have to lie to make a person feel better so they don't feel like you're putting them down or something. But really, God is telling us that a lie is wrong. It's wrong to lie. And also in the second study, they found that of the 64% that said they lied, most of them had lied more than one time. The average lies that they told was 3 times during that 10-minute conversation. But that's our society, and we're not supposed to do what our society does. We are supposed to be as truthful as we can. And what Christ said, he came to show the truth, and he came to show that there is going to be an end of this world where everything that we've said and done in our lives will be laid before us, and if we consider lying that as not a wrong thing, we're not really accepting what the Word of God says, that we should tell the truth, and that should be a real part of our life. And so we should also demonstrate that Christ has changed our lives. Maybe sometimes we did things that were wrong, and we did things that were not according to God's Word, but now we should let God change our lives and let Him to come into our lives and to have our lives dedicated unto Him, so that we don't have to do those things that you're in this chapter telling that it's wrong. And it's not that we have to be above what the society is doing, but we have to be doing what God wants us to do, what God tells us to do in His Word. And in John 8, 42-44, it says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye should love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When we lie, we're showing that we're doing what the devil did and what the devil was condemned for. But if we don't say the truth, then we don't really have the truth in us. But Christ came to show us the truth and show us what the life that we should live and what would be according to his will and according to his word. And we looked at in some of these verses in the Bible that it tells us things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. And Colossians 3:12-13 said, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye." And this talks about that put on, like it's almost talking like the clothes that you put on, or if a soldier is putting on armor when he's going to battle, it's like we should do that kind of thing. Not that we should physically put on armor, but this is really a spiritual battle, and we should use the Word of God as our armor, as our protection, knowing that God can protect us from those things. And we see that soldiers put on different armor, but that's for a physical battle, and this is a spiritual battle that we really don't have a strength to do these things on our own. He's not asking you to do something that he wouldn't give you the strength for, but we have to ask God. We have to be sorry for those things that we have done. And we have to ask to have those things. What are the things that would protect us? He speaks as a balance of mercies. Sometimes we feel emotions in our bodies, and sometimes we're anxious, sometimes we're nervous, sometimes we have butterflies in our stomach, is the saying that they say. And we really should look at what's in our heart, not in the pump that's pumping blood, but really what are the essence of what we believe and what we're saying and what we're doing. And the heart is the seat of the emotions, and we can love out of our heart, not because of the strength that we have, but we can recognize that Christ had a love for us that went beyond many things. And so we can pray that God would show, that would give us that love, the kind of love that he had, maybe not to the degree that he had it to give his life, but that we would read his word, and that we would increase spiritual. And mercy is a virtue that you can express in many ways, including kindness, empathy, generosity, or forgiving someone who has maybe wronged you, or maybe you just think he has wronged you. But if we have that spirit of forgiveness, then that's showing what Christ has done in our lives. And long suffering can mean that we're patient for a situation, we're patient with other people, and some situation or things take a long time to resolve, and we shouldn't really get discouraged about that, although seems if things take a long time, sometimes we do, or I do, get discouraged or impatient. But if we show that what, if we look at what Christ did for us, that it wasn't just going to the cross, but even the first thing, but to be mocked and to be whipped and to have to carry the cross and things like that. And he did that for us, and so we should remember that and ask for his strength to be within us to do that. And he also talks about kindness and quality of being friendly, generous, understanding, considerate, and humbleness means to be friendly, to be generous, low in self-pride, and you know, arrogance, things like that. And forgiveness is also an intentional decision that we want to let go of that things that are starting to control us, whether they're resentment, anger, or revenge or something, that those things that we feel, Christ can really show us what we should do instead of having those kind of feelings, the feelings of love. And in Colossians 3:14-15, it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called into one body, and be thankful. Put on charity means that we should show that love in words and deeds, and in, we should allow that the peace of God to flow through us. We should ask for the peace of God and ask God to help us in those situations and to control us. And then in Colossians 3:16-17, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we need to read the word. We need to read what God has given us in the word. And we need to come together like this as a body of believers to get the strength from one another, to have to see how that builds it up, builds all of us up. And those things that we can do that he said we should do, and that love that we have for one another, that we can see that. And also those actions that should be motivated by love, and it should be motivated by looking at what Christ has done for us, what he has done for me personally, and the ways he has come to save my life, so that it wouldn't be bound up in sin, but I could give my life over to him, and that he can work through me. And we will never be perfect, but we can always recognize that God wants to come unto us, and he wants to give us strength to live in this life and to be a light unto others, showing what he has done in our lives. May the Lord bless his brother.
We sing from the Camp Book, it should be at everybody's place, hymn number 83, Faith is a Victory. Thank you.
Thank the Lord for using your brothers Gary and Frank this morning to bring God's word to us. Blessed we are to be able to gather still in this day and age, 2025, free to gather like this and to sit under the sound of God's word and the dividing of his word unto us. If he be risen, are we risen Christians? We talked in Bible class about faith is the victory. We just sang about that. Are we victorious Christians? Are we risen Christians? What does that mean? What does it mean very practically to you and I every day of our life? Many things. I was sitting listening to the sermon thinking five things particularly kind of hit me from this scripture and from others that came right to mind. If we are a risen Christian, as Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Former things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then you think back at your conversion, when you first became a Christian, and everything was brand new. It's like putting on, new glasses, and things are crystal clear all of a sudden. And you know that's true. It relates to that time of our conversion. It relates to every single day we get up in the morning. Just like as God's mercy is new to us, we are new creatures in him, given a new opportunity that day to serve him. New creatures. We're transformed if we're risen above, if we're risen Christians. What does that mean? Well, Paul said in Romans 12:2 that we should be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind, so that what? We can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every day we have that opportunity to be transformed. Keep looking around us and opportunities to do that. Sasan asked really some good questions this morning in Bible class, and one of them sort of touched on that. If I'm in a situation where I'm kind of called out, I'm different, I'm treated differently because of my faith, how does that feel? Well, that's our opportunity to feel that for Christ. Be transformed. And the verse that Brother Frank closed with, that beautiful verse 14, and above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And if we are risen Christians, then we are called to be loving Christians. Verse 13, we're called to be forgiving Christians, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And then, I'll close this, 17, and whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We are called to be doing Christians, or dynamic Christians. Our life should reflect the fact that we are dynamic individuals. He's given us life and health and God and all things for godliness in this world. And he's given us people we interact with in our own private worlds. Let's do that as dynamic people, knowing that everything we do in word and deed, all of that, even kind of mundane things in life, even pulling the weeds, in the garden, do all to the glory of God and be dynamic Christians. I thank the brothers, and I thank particularly the Lord for again opening up beautiful scriptures for us and beautiful teachings about how we can be victorious through our faith, how we can stand out in this world by being the kind of risen Christians that he's called us. Can we all rise and close the prayer? Our Father and our God, we are joyous and energized and edified and just strengthened, Lord, to come here in this day and to talk about and to consider those things that truly are eternal. Those things that defy the values of our society in which we live, and those things that transcend all the sin and the darkness and the pettiness of this world, And they just transcends that because it's coming from a transformative God in heaven, the creator God who created each one of us to have fellowship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And how can we do that but through being risen Christians and being victorious Christians in you. For those who do not know you, have not tasted of this beautiful, beautiful salvation that we have, the purpose and the peace and the love and the joy that brings into our hearts, may many hear thy word wherever it is preached and taught today around this globe, that many, many would come to faith in Jesus Christ as the risen Christ, as the Messiah. Lord, be with us now as around the lunch tables for fellowship, that you might be, Lord, an honor and a glory unto you, and then for prayer service this afternoon, Lord, that you would give us upon our hearts a burden for those that need prayer today. Lord, we just praise you, love you, thank you for all things in Jesus' name.